I want you to join me now in praying together. We're going to read this prayer in unison. Again, eternal God, you are praised by angels and beings. We are witness. We have feet of clay, and we have long since left our diapers. Yet we too long to be part of the praise with the saints in heaven, and the created order on earth offers to you our maker. Forgive us if we have become complacent in our worship, as if all this complemented you, and predictable gifts were all you desired. Inspire us, if we have gotten out of tune with eternity, and only moved to predictable rhythms, as if the gospel were static rather than dynamic. Enable us to praise you with the enthusiasm of children and the integrity of angels, and to sense that there is the eve of the gate of heaven, and you are our monarch, and this is a royal invitation.
The hymn we were about to sing is a text written to the tune of number 46 in your hymnal worship book, the familiar tune, I Sing the Mighty Power of God. This text, O Lord of Life, was written by George MacDonald, who lived from 1824 to 1905. So if the text seems a little bit out of tune, maybe, with the way we would word things today, keep that in mind. This is a century plus ago, but I think it is very relevant what it has to say. Please stand as we sing, O Lord of Life.
Noticed in the bulletin, the order of service this morning is a bit unusual. And this morning, we will be singing our faith. The first weekend in January, Steve and I attended the worship and singing weekend at Lauraville. And this year, it was led by members of the group that is starting to create a new hymnal. So we were singing new songs and learning new words to old songs. And so this morning, we will sing familiar songs with some new words at points. And we will listen to some new songs that put words in tune to some of our deepest longings and fears and joys. We will pray together. We will open our hearts to allow God to touch our spirits. Now, this next song that a small group will be singing, the words will be up on the wall so that you can follow along with the words. It's called Sing a New World into Being.
past few years, the worship team has chosen a scripture passage each year that we dwell on. At the beginning of each of our meetings, we read this passage, and then we just take turns sharing maybe what spoke out to us that time. And it's a way that we can allow God's word to shape our lives and become the people that he wants us to be. This year, the elders and the worship team have both chosen the same passage. And this year we chose Psalm 86, 5 to 13a. So maybe you would like to also dwell on that this year with us. But we will, that's the scripture that we will be dwelling on. So I would like to read that for you now. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call on you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my cry of supplication. In the day of trouble, I call on you, for you will answer me. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and bow down before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great, and you do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart to revere your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love toward me. God promises steadfast love in times of trouble. This passage opened with that, and again at the end, for great is your steadfast love toward me.
bow our heads in prayer.
O God, our Maker, against a backdrop of your everlastingness, we, creatures of the day, live, move, and have our being. Here we acknowledge that while life may be random, it is not futile. You have purposed us for a future which we, limited by flesh and blood, cannot imagine. Yet in Jesus, who brought eternity into touch with time, we see glimpses of greater life for which we strive, and into which others have entered. Surround us here, not with shallow sentiment which vanishes, but with a deep sense of your compassion for us and of your embrace of all those we can no longer touch. Assure us that we are in good company and that we, in this holy place, are in good hands. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You will want to take note to the text on the projector on the wall, because the text has been changed a little bit in the first two verses. So you note that we will sing the new text. Some changes have been made to hopefully make it a little more relevant to the way we sing and think today. Next song we'll sing is We Are People of God's Peace. It's in the hymnal worship book number 407. This is one that the committee working on the hymnal said that we have a tendency in some of our songs to really take an unrealistic view of where we are in light of something like this. The first three verses that are in your hymnal that were written basically make it sound like we have arrived. We've conquered this thing. We've got it down. And they said, we have to on a daily basis remember that this isn't something we've already attained totally. This is a process that we are working through in becoming people of God's peace. So an additional verse was written for a second verse that sort of addresses it from that standpoint. We are people of God's peace.
We are people of God's peace.
Steve and Lori invited me to go to the Laurelville worship retreat a few years ago, and it was an awesome experience. Emily was able to go as well. One of the things I really appreciate about Whitmer Heights is that we have a very diverse appreciation of how we worship and sing in our Sunday morning gatherings. It's a unique thing, I think. We have people here that love good a cappella singing. Four-part Mennonite harmony. And it's beautiful. We have people here that really love contemporary Christian music, where we project it up and some of the old school contemporary songs and some of the new contemporary songs that maybe you're hearing on the radio, like WJTL. We have people here that really appreciate hymns put to music, like with piano and violin. We have people here that love the Mennonite World Conference songs, the blue hymnal, the Sing the Journey and Sing the Story. We have it all at Whitmer Heights, let me tell you. And it's really a unique thing as a pastor, after the worship Sunday morning that someone really appreciates, they'll often come to me and say, wasn't that worship just wonderful? And that is their subtle way of saying, we should do more of that. But let me just say, I think it's a beautiful thing of what we're doing here. Because we are a diverse congregation when it comes to how we sing and worship together. And I even think the worship committee that's putting together our new Mennonite hymnal gets this. They get it that our Mennonite church is diverse in how we worship. And so even the Mennonite hymnal coming out in a few years is going to have, I think, some more kind of contemporary songs in it. Lori's shaking her head, yes. So that just shows that we are trying to appreciate and recognize the great diversity of how we worship together. At Whitmer Heights, I am really grateful that we have a worship team that meets once a month or every other month. Lori is the chair of the team, and Steve is also on it, Eileen, and then Shane is also on the worship committee. And, you know, in the past few years, we've had people like Sophia and Trisha is on it, who are no longer. But let me just say, I am really grateful for a worship team who thinks about our Sunday morning worship service and how we worship together, the kinds of music we sing, the instruments, the different things that we do during Advent and during Lent, and the resourcing, how we do a call to worship and preparing ourselves in the presence of God, like with lighting a peace lamp or giving a chime, how we do sharing time, like all of this stuff we have to figure out together. And we have a worship team that helps to do this, and we appreciate your feedback in how we worship together. This morning, thinking about worship, we are and liturgy, we are entering into a season called Lent. And again, going back to the worship committee, our worship committee talked about how do we want to do Lent this year. And a resource that we use quite a bit is called the Leader magazine, and it's some excellent worship resources that we can use. And so this year we are going to continue to use some stuff from the Leader magazine on Lent. So this morning I just want to share a little bit of an introduction to what we're going to be digging into in the next 40 days of Lent, and I'm going to tie it really a little bit into our covenant as well, which we had last week, our covenant signing. So if you were able to get to our Ash Wednesday service, I talked a little bit about Lent there. But real briefly here, Lent is this season when we look inward. We look inward. I was talking to a Catholic priest at Lancaster General Hospital. His name's Father Deo. And this is how he described Lent over lunch to me. He said, so often when we want to judge other people, we point our finger and say, why are you doing it that way? And that finger is pointing at them. He said, Lent is not about that finger being pointed at the other person. Lent is about the other three fingers looking right back at yourself, saying, before you judge another person, you have to look inwardly at your own life. And there's also, when you're pointing, there's a finger also looking up to God, asking, God, what do I need to be looking at in my own life? What do I need to be aware of in my own life? My own places of temptation, my own sin that light has to be shed on. Lent is about looking inward on our journey with Christ. It's 40 days because Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness. Oftentimes during Lent, people will give something up. And the hope, I believe, is that in giving something up, it allows us to be more aware of our dependence on God and God's presence in our life. So if I'm giving up, you know, say I'm giving up checking ESPN every 2 hours. Hopefully, as I'm giving up that thing, I'm giving more time to be aware of something in my own life that needs shaped or a little bit of attention given to it. But not to be doing it in a legalistic kind of way, because that's missing the whole point. So as we look in the next 40 days, I would encourage us to keep this visual that Father Deo gave to me of, before we point a finger at another person, let's think about the three fingers looking right back at ourselves. In the Leader magazine over Lent here, it's an amazing thing. We've just spent the last how many weeks thinking about covenant. And the whole theme of Lent in 2018 is also around the theme of covenant. So we're going to spend a little bit more time thinking about covenant as well. Covenants are abounding in the scriptures. And it's going to be following the lectionary text. So the lectionary text for today is the covenant that God gave with Noah in Genesis 9. This everlasting covenant between God and us and every living creature, including creation. See, that's important, that it includes creation as well, and that the animals were included. How are we at peace with God, with others, and with creation in this grand covenant that God has made with us? There's many covenants throughout the Old Testament. We see a covenant that was made with Abraham. God's covenants and promises also reach to our ancestors and generation to generation to generation. And so this theme of covenant then moves into the New Testament, where we see the new covenant in Jesus. And the people who put the resources together, that's a group out of Mennonite Church Canada, they're calling it Between Me and You. They say, we start the Lenten journey discovering how vastly big God's covenant is. And that is, it is extended from generation to generation. As humans, though, we struggle with barriers getting in the way and are in need of guidelines, and eventually we need a new covenant. As we approach Holy Week, we will be invited to lay down the barrier of our preconceived understandings and expressions, and to realize the good news that in Jesus' death and resurrection, there is no longer anything in between us and God. The theme Between Me and You is multifaceted. It refers to the relationship between us and God. It also refers to the relationship between people and our church community, the relationships between people and creation. Covenants are made between two parties, and things also come in between these parties. As humans, we may struggle with maintaining our relationships and our commitments. We bind and blind ourselves with limitations and barriers. How are we as a people of God aware of the things that get in between us, our own community, our relationship with God or creation? And how are we always coming back to the new covenant in Jesus, where the barriers are taken away? And it's just, as Mary Magdalene at the tomb realizes, it's just, there's nothing in between anymore in the new covenant and the resurrection. That's where we're looking towards as we move to Easter. So I was thinking about the covenant signing that we had last week, and we want to celebrate that, and we recognize that there were some people that we're not able to sign last week, and what we'd have is that we will have an opportunity right after the church service is over. If you did not get a chance to sign the covenant and you would like to, we'll have pens up here, and come and sign the covenant if you would like to do that. We would welcome that and celebrate it. This theme of covenant got me thinking about something that I got at the Mennonite Historical Society, and we have one hanging up here in our church as well. But this was to celebrate the 500th anniversary of Menno Simons. It's amazing, isn't it? This is part of the story that our congregation comes out of, the Mennonite Anabaptist story. And there's a phrase at the top of this that I just love it when I hear it. It's from the Admonition on Church Discipline. It says, never forget, I love those, never forget the covenant which you voluntarily accepted. Remember that you are risen with Christ, Jesus, into the life which is taught by the gospel. And then the Prince of Peace is Jesus Christ. We who were formerly no people at all, and who knew of no peace, are now called to be a church of peace. True Christians do not know vengeance. They are the children of peace. Their hearts overflow with peace, their mouths speak peace, and they will walk in the way of peace. Never forget that covenant. This week, with the tragic gun shooting in Florida. And then all of the things on social media, whatever, I'm not getting into the politics of any of it. That is not my goal this morning. I just wanted to say this. We are filled in the United States in a culture of violence, whether it's in our videos, whether it's in our music, whether it's in video games and media, whether it's in how we profit from immense amounts of sales related to violence, whether it's a huge military budget, unbelievable amounts of money spent. We are immersed in a culture of violence. And as soon as I point that finger saying, I'm so upset at this culture of violence, I have to look at the three fingers looking back to me and saying, Randy, how are you first aware of this in your own life? That's going to be Lent for me in the next 40 days of asking, how am I modeling and aware of how violence creeps into me at times? But if the Mennonite church, if people of Christ's peace, 500-year-old tradition based on the peace of Christ, cannot speak out to this culture of violence in the United States and say something is wrong, then who is going to? And so all of you can respond however you want to. And I'm not anticipating that's going to be the same, because I know that not everybody here is at the same place on that. But my only prayer is that it would be grounded in our theological grounding as Anabaptist Mennonites. And that is that it's grounded in the peace of Christ. How is the peace of Christ transforming us? How is the covenant that we've made with Christ to be people of God's peace transforming and molding us in how we respond and live out in these times? How is our covenant with God, our covenant with one another, our covenant with creation going to shape us at this time? The theme between me and you, God and us, God, us with one another, us and creation. I pray during this season of Lent that we would not forget our covenant, that we would not forget the covenant that we voluntarily accepted as followers of Jesus Christ. And I pray that as we don't forget it, we would keep looking inward to ourselves, recognizing our own sin, recognizing the places where we are not getting it right. One of the things I love about Lent, and we're going to have them in our worship services, we're going to take time each Sunday morning for confession. Why do we confess? We confess because we have to look inward to ourselves. This season of Lent is a time for self-examination. And so each Sunday morning, starting next week, we will consider what we need to confess, and we're just going to have some time of silence with it. And you can do what you want with it. You can say that prayer of confession yourself, or if you're not ready to say that, that's okay too. But this season of Lent is a time for self-examination, looking inward. And as we explore the nature of covenants and relationships, we are all invited to also confess. To confess that, God, I haven't gotten it always right. I haven't always trusted in you. I still have this place that is just keeping me from your kingdom. I give that to you, Lord. And I'm asking for your grace and your forgiveness and your healing in my life. We can confess. And then the beautiful thing is that we don't end with confession. We also have words of assurance. We also have words spoken of God's love and grace and forgiveness, saying, you are my child, you are my beloved, I forgive you. And that is also part of the beautiful covenant, the new covenant of grace and forgiveness and love. So we are on this journey of Lent together. And thank you for being on the journey. Let's pray. God, I pray that as we enter into this season of Lent, Lord, I pray that as it's so easy to to judge others and to look to others, the things that we don't like. I do truly pray, Lord, that we would be able to look inward during this season of self-examination. God, reveal in us the places that need your light shined upon. Reveal the places that are our own kingdom. The places where we find our security, our safety. The places that we don't want to be exposed because we're vulnerable. God, during this season of Lent, give us the space and the time that we need to explore those places. Give us vulnerable opportunities to share with one another, to confess, to ask for help, to trust in your healing and your hope in our lives as we move in the next 40 days to resurrection. God, I pray that we would continue to be a people of your peace, that we would continue to remember the covenant that we voluntarily accepted. Thank you, God, for your love to us and that you have made a covenant with us through Christ, our Lord. Amen.